Welcome to Care of Souls, a podcast of 180 Ministries, where Dr. Stuart Scott serves as the executive director. 180 Ministries equips local churches with biblical counseling by offering counseling, education, and consulting services. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about how we can serve you. This podcast is being recorded in cooperation with the Masters University, where Dr. Scott also serves as a professor of biblical counseling. Visit their website at masters.edu to learn more about their programs in biblical counseling.
Welcome back to the Care of Souls podcast. Today, Pastor Adam and Dr. Scott will talk about the importance of believers proactively seeking good for one another from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, which says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Give us some insight on this one, guys.
It's good to be back with you, Dr. Scott. Well, we're looking at being good. We got to do good to one another. That's an important part, don't you think, Dr. Scott, of being
Absolutely.
A Christian?
Yeah.
So as we're looking at the context here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, can you kind of lead us up maybe into this one another?
Sure thing. You know, this particular letter has several themes running through it. You know, you have the end times theme. You've got just pastoral care theme, you have an evangelistic theme, you have a defense for the gospel theme, just various themes running through. But towards the end here, all these different exhortations for the body of Christ within the body, even up verse 14, we urge you, brothers, you know, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak, and be patient with them all. And then it goes into the verse that Mark read, see to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to the one another and to everyone. It seems to be within the body of Christ that this evil can pop up, you know, one against the other.
Sure. And we see that in verse 14 is what you're saying. We need to be ready to admonish them, encourage them, be patient with all inside the body.
Yeah. And when it says here, see to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil, it's the whole church has the responsibility for the one person repaying evil for evil. Mm. You know, you spot them. Mm-hmm. And then the whole church has the responsibility to come in and say, this isn't right what you're doing.
So this is us being our brother's keeper.
That's right.
This is us not just playing church, but being the church.
That's right.
And you're saying the component here is not necessarily just individualistic only, but it's in a corporate gathering that we are considering this one another.
Yeah, it's the you plural. Mm-hmm. Y'all see to it that no one repays evil. And you know, you hear about it and you might think, well, that's not my issue. Well, if it's going on in the church, it is everyone's issue. Mm-hmm. It's like when one member hurts, the whole body hurts. Mm-hmm. And we're so individualistic, you know, in our culture, in our, you know, United States, at least. We just don't have the mentality that the church grows together, it suffers together. Everything it does is together.
Kind of like your family.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if you're a mom or dad, a brother or sister, and something's going on in the home and it's not right, and someone's being disrespected or someone's being mistreated, or people are being short with each other, that gets addressed pretty quickly in my home.
Yes, it does.
As it should, right?
Yeah.
And you're saying we should carry that kind of mindset over into the whole church.
Right. Even if we don't know the people well, we can at least go ask questions. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get a favorable response, we can bring someone else in that may, you know, whether it's a leader, a small group leader, someone else into the mix to try to resolve the issue.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the context here. Instead of repaying evil for evil, we're to overcome that, as Romans 12 says, overcome evil with good and seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So that seek, I think maybe I've mentioned this before in another podcast, but it means to be on the hunt, to eagerly pursue, almost hunt for ways to do good.
Like you're looking for opportunities and you're being proactive about it.
Yeah.
You're not just sitting back responding.
Right.
And you're not just saying, hey, I'm going to do something good on your birthday only.
Right.
But all through the year and every given day, you're looking to help and serve, edify, encourage someone else.
Yeah. And it might be in the immediate context, you see something not going right between two believers, what good can I maybe bring into this situation to help it, to remedy it? But it could be, you know, more general of just looking for ways to do good to people.
Sure.
Yeah. I put in the illustration, I remember it very well, when I was at a restaurant and I had taken a pastor, it was a conference, and he was struggling. He shared that one of the shepherd's conferences. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's just go, you know, for lunch. We'll go off mm-hmm. and go down. We went down to one of the restaurants nearby, and I guess there's only one. and you know, I'm just going, the Lord will provide, you know, in a way that provides for the lunch. Anyway, I'm praying for the guy and trying to help him, encourage him. I go up to pay the bill, and they go, it's already been paid for.
Oh, yeah.
And it was someone else at the conference who saw what was going on and paid the whole bill.
Well, that was good.
I mean, he wasn't just either eating.
Yeah.
He was kind of watching, and he picked up on a few things, and he that was seeking to do good.
Sure.
And it blessed us.
Yeah.
But and he continues to do that. You know, I've come across him a time and time again at different places.
Where does that guy eat? I'm going to show up there at restaurant. I'm going to bring.
What's his name?
Yeah. I'm going to bring the whole family, man. I'm bringing the family to that one. Hey, when you talk about doing good, do you feel like in the context or just here in the Bible, it's just anywhere from general good to like gospel good? You know, I'm just kind of thinking of in our culture, everybody's like, oh, karma, it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Be nice to others. And I'm not even against the idea of like, I've heard about the Starbucks lines.
Yeah.
And pay for the drink behind you.
Yeah.
And oh, it carried on 132 cars.
Right.
And then you think, well, what jerk ended that, man? You know, I'm like, hopefully it wasn't me, you know, because I might be tempted just to be like, oh, well, thank you.
Someone who forgot their wallet, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. But what's the difference here, or is there any difference between, you know, gospel good versus just offering somebody a pleasant tree?
You know, I think all good that we do is a reflection of God who's good. I mean, we're imaging him. And it all should go back to him, right? From him, through him, and to him belong all things. I would think that no matter what we do and caring for others, whether in the body, it says, and to everyone, even outside the body, we're praying, hoping, desiring for some bridge to present Christ to them.
Sure.
Otherwise, it does become a social gospel kind of thing, or they'll misread things.
So we're saying the word here is not necessarily saying, hey, this is only gospel good.
Yeah.
And it's not saying it's only generic good. They both kind of go together. Throughout your day, you're doing all kinds of good.
Right.
Sometimes it might be more like a scriptural word of encouragement and a blessing that encourage somebody. That's more specifically a Christian thing to do. But you're saying if it's providing a meal for somebody, if it's serving your neighbor, taking down the trash for them, I think you mentioned in your book, maybe cutting your neighbor's lawn or doing something else like that. Like all of this counts as far as applying this verse.
It does. I think all of the good to outside the body are bridges that you're desiring and praying that it'll initiate a conversation of some sort, and you can give glory to God and really pray that this will be an open door, so to speak, an opportunity to talk to them about where they're at, their soul's state.
Hopefully they want to know why you're so nice all the time.
Yeah.
And then instead of just being like, oh, it's karma,
right?
You could be like, it's Christ.
That's right.
You know, the reason that I enjoy, you know, serving you in the little ways I do is because God has been so good to me.
That's right.
And I don't deserve his grace. And yet here I am, and it's just a joy to serve you in that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I just think we may miss those opportunities, and we're often in such a hurry. But I think just lingering around and taking an interest in people, even neighbors, you know, we just retreat quickly to our homes and maybe linger a little bit, you know, seek to help them.
Which comes back to the hunt, seek to do good to others. You got to reorient your selfish tendencies and your nature to be like, I need to be others focused.
Yeah. And because this is tied together with see to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil, because it says then, but, and here's the thing we put on. If we see trouble or potential trouble, we don't say, well, that's not our business. we should try to explore what's going on and if the appropriate people need to be involved to help remedy to this thing, to preserve the unity. Back to Ephesians 4, you know, endeavor to keep the unity and the spirit of peace. And I think that I'm just impressed with everyone has the responsibility. It's not just those involved, but the whole church needs to come to the sort of rescue solution. And doing good is one way to help resolve that. But then it's more general. Doing good to everyone broadens that whole.
Yeah, because it's the context, as we've been discussing, is first the church, first fellow believers. Mm-hmm. That's the one another. Yep. When every time in the New Testament, would you say when it says one another, Dr. Scott, is that talking about a fellow believer?
I think the majority of the times that we've looked at it, yes.
Because it's typically in the context of the church. But isn't it interesting here, it says one another and
I know
those who are on the outside, right?
Yeah.
And everyone, obviously an inclusive word of literally any other person on the planet.
Right. So we should just be reflecting God's goodness to everyone, especially the household of faith.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. Well, you referenced Romans 12 already, but just looking at that cross-reference to our text here in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, you know, it says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Mm. To the contrary, if you're enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Mm-hmm. Just have to ask the question as we look at that, do you feel like when we think of the people today who need food, like they're our enemy? How do we understand here in the Romans 12, I know it's not our main context, but how do we understand it, an enemy versus just a neighbor like we're talking about? Is there a difference in the point of those two passages?
Well, you know, the verse right before you started in verse 19, it's, if possible, depends on you, live peaceably with all people.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, an enemy in the Bible is someone who makes it their chief goal every day to kill you. You know, I mean, that is an enemy. It's like Saul chasing David all over the countryside. It's someone who, an enemy is someone who wants you off the planet.
So this takes it to the next level. Maybe the 1 Thessalonians 5 passages do this for others and for your neighbors, you know, others in the church and those outside the church, kind of a neutral playing field. But in Romans 12, it's saying, hey, and your enemies, those who despise you, those who, you know, want your demise, that you return that evil with good.
Yeah, and if you try to help people who are in the body, who are not doing very well, you know, in the first part of that verse, they might be after you, not in a way like King Saul was with David, but they can turn on you. Yeah. I mean, in friendly fire in the church is not an uncommon thing.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't either.
But what are you saying? Like, just still be good to those people.
Yeah.
Like, if you have enemies in the church perceived, make sure you really reach out to bless them.
Right. Yeah. And here in Romans 12, you know, it almost seems as if it's talking about unbelievers, about the vengeance and heaping burning coals on their head. It just seems as if your goodness back to them seems just humble them and open up maybe for what is going on.
Yeah.
Why are you being kind to me when I'm wanting your demise?
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that idea. The phrase we often say would be kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
Do you like that phrase or feel like, you know what, that's a little, because it starts to appeal towards an evil nature of like, oh, I'm going to get them with this.
Yeah.
And you think it's being loving, but something's kind of twisted about your motive, isn't it?
I think so. I don't like the word kill or terminate you know, in relationships. But the word overcome is where we get Nike. I mean, it's more overcome with victory. Our weapons in the battle are gospel truths and goodness. Mm-hmm. It's not I'm after to kill the enemy. It's more of win them, Lord willing.
Sure. And by the way, it's not you heaping burning coals on their head. That's going to be something maybe God's doing through their conscience.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
So God's using the tool of the conscience, which, by the way, every creature has, that's every right. every human being has created the image of God, and he's going to use your good works, which are hopefully reflecting the gospel and God's character, to maybe bring them under conviction. Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it, and it keeps us from getting hurt or angry, nursing our, you know, in a self-pity kind of way. If we're coming back at them with goodness and love, what can we do to help them?
Yeah.
You know, if they're hungry, feed them. It's actively loving them rather than passively nursing your hurts.
Okay. Wow, that's good. Well, talk to me just a little bit about maybe the polarization. I'm thinking, I'm like, well, how can we do this more, a little bit more practically? Particularly, I feel like there's a lot of polarization yeah. today between political agendas that are going on, and people just seem to hate the other side with such a vehemence that's scary to me. Are there ways that we should really be challenging folks to, like, hey, if there's a person who has the exact opposite view of you, whether it's a major political issue or something more preferential, how can we apply this?
You know, I think, well, we're going to come to another podcast on praying for one another, which yeah. is huge.
Right.
Praying for the lost, right? Yeah. Even in the political realm mm-hmm. in 1 Timothy 2. So that's one. And mm-hmm. I don't know that we do that enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll talk mm-hmm. a lot, but I don't know if it ever turns as much as it should. Mm-hmm. So let's pray for our, you know, leaders and whatnot. And I would say the same, anyone who's you're having difficulty with, pray for your own heart, pray for their heart, and then be thinking on the hunt. Mm-hmm. What are some ways I can practically do good? It might be trying to converse with them, not so much instructing them initially, but finding out why it seems they're taking a particular position on something. Yeah, just explain to me. Mm-hmm. I think we don't, or I don't, listen as much as I should. And I may assume I know why they're doing what they're doing, but I've never asked them. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's a loving thing to do, is to say, can you help me understand your position on something that maybe seemed contrary to what the Bible teaches?
Do you think that's an example of doing good?
I think so.
Because we're kind of bridging yeah. the gap, like you said. Who knows where that yep. conversation may go? At least you're being conversive versus just right. accusing them and frowning upon them and, you know, just ostracizing them as if they're an outcast,
yeah.
which maybe theologically they are, but socially we want to be winsome and kind mm-hmm. and inviting and maybe get into those conversations with them.
I think so. I think it's a way of loving them, entering into their world more than drawing a line in the sand and saying, you're on that side and I'm on this side. Just, mm-hmm. can you help me understand? And do you know, if there, it's a believer, professing believer, how do you understand these certain passages or a passage that may teach on this, but not from where you're coming from? And just asking questions tends to prick the conscience.
Yeah. Well, what would you say to the average Christian or the average church that's maybe steeped in their theology and doctrine in a good way, mm-hmm. and yet maybe a new member comes to the church and says, well, what are you guys doing to reach out to the community? You know, I see the Catholic Church doing this, and I see such and such larger, watered-down, seeker-sensitive church doing this for the yeah. community, and you guys don't really seem to be doing good for your community. How do we answer that question, and how could we challenge churches like the one we attend to do a better job at that?
Well, I think there is an admonition, an aspect of it that we probably do need to hear, mm-hmm. Rather than we're not going anywhere near caring for the community lest we get pulled into the social gospel.
Right.
I think we probably are admonished by some of the things that other individuals or churches might be doing, but we just want to be strong on the gospel in every endeavor we do. And watching Jesus in the gospels, where he is always presenting himself as the true answer, even though he cared for people.
Right.
I just think we tend to want to go on the opposite, lest we fall into error, mm-hmm. rather than walk a biblical path, spirit-filled mm-hmm. and controlled and biblically directed. And I would think having people around who would hold us accountable to say,
yeah.
how are things going from time to time, and are you sliding, you know, are you shifting in any kind of a dangerous area? Just
yeah.
I think that's just brotherly accountability. But I think we do need to think, how can we practically do good to everyone, as it says there, but in a way that draws them to the Savior?
So we're giving a cup of cold water, but we are doing it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. You're meeting the needs where they are, but then you're using that as a bridge to share with them about their greatest need,
yep.
which is that they could see and understand yeah. the love of God through Christ, that by his shed blood and his resurrection, they can be forgiven
yeah.
and healed spiritually in their soul to have new life.
Yeah.
And you think about, that's what Jesus did. That's what you're saying, whether it's the water into wine at Cana, whether it's healing the man who couldn't walk, or the one of the blind men stories of the New Testament. In each one of those, there's some type of pointer
yeah.
in the narrative that goes gospel
yeah.
or Messiah
yeah.
or repent and believe. Or unless you repent and believe, the same could happen to you. You could fall into some physical infirmity even.
Yeah. You know, when I looked at Jesus' life, especially in the Gospels, especially his prayer life, when he was in Capernaum, when he was healing all those people after, you know, the Peter's mother-in-law in the synagogue and the guy with a demon, there are people lined up the next day to be healed, to be, you know, have demons cast out.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go find Jesus, the disciples did. And he just said, you know, he was praying.
Right.
And he says, I didn't come for this, right? I mean, it was
yeah.
clearly to...
They were like, we have a crowd.
Yeah.
This is going viral. Everybody's here. More problems.
It's physical
You're the miracle
needs.
Worker.
Yep. Yep.
Where you been, Jesus?
Yep.
And
That's
he said...
That I'm not called to that. That's not why I came. And he came to preach the good news of salvation, to repent and believe. But from there on, it's not like he didn't care for the physical needs around him. He was still feeding thousands, still healing people. So he didn't say, no, it's just, I'm going to teach and preach only. The church will only do the instruction. But it was a blend. It was definitely the main mission was the gospel, but it was also caring for people practically.
Mm.
So he didn't stop.
Sure. It's a both and.
Uh-huh.
It's both care for their practical needs
yep.
and point to the Redeemer who can help them with their spiritual needs.
Yeah.
So do you see also just the idea of doing good in the home or in the church with relationships primarily being, again, I'm just trying to make sure I'm understanding it. When I read this verse, should mm-hmm. I be thinking always both, you know, like serve my wife by doing the dishes and lovingly listen to her talk about, you know, what she wants to talk about, and open up the Bible and read scripture and pray together. It's like, that's all important. And I need to do all of those. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I do. It is a call primarily to the body of Christ, but then it broadens out to everyone. And it would definitely be gospel-oriented good, but it doesn't negate practical helps in the name of Christ
yeah.
to other people. So he's like, you know, which I think it is very...
Every time I see good, I'm just going to think both.
Well,
physical and spiritual.
It is. I mean, you almost... The good is tied to really keeping that body of Christ healthy and not seeing evil for evil and problems going on. So the good is, you know, I would say probably the main focus is the body of Christ. Make sure you're really caring for that body. It's healthy. It's caring for one another.
Yeah, and part of that just means if you see a hole or a gap or something missing, you be there.
Yeah.
If somebody needs to, you know, the church is lacking service in the nursery or mm-hmm. with greeters or with the food service for a special fellowship, then you be that.
Yeah.
You know, if you see two people arguing or they seem to be in a heated
discussion. Or complaining.
Then you be the person who tries to go over there and say, hey, what's going on? How can I help you guys? Like, you're really just looking all the time for any type of way that you could offer
yeah.
help.
Yes, and the primary focus is the church here in this passage, but it does broaden out in kind of a, just when you're out and about,
yeah,
you're just seeking to do good because that's our God. God does good. He is good, and he does good. You know, in Psalm 119:68, he's always on the hunt for ways to do good. He's not a reluctant God. He's seeking to help remedy things in the church, and he wants to show himself as the great benefactor.
Amen.
Well, to our listeners, Look at your heart and life and evaluate how have you sought to do good to others lately, to believers and to unbelievers. Consider your motives and the outcomes. Have you been doing good for the glory of God and the spiritual benefit of others, or to benefit yourself? Think of how you can do good to believers and unbelievers in simple and small ways that don't cost much money or take much time to do, but which will require you look and seek for those opportunities to do good to others, make specific plans, and then carry them out. This could even include having a conversation that God will use to lead an unbeliever to repentance, or that will encourage a believer to grow in Christ-likeness. And may the Lord bless you as you seek good for one another.
Thank you for joining us today on Care of Souls. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by the truth from Scripture and are better equipped to serve Christ in His church. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about our resources and services. Until next time, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. May the Lord bless you as you abide in Him.